Good afternoon, and thank you for listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. Happy Wednesday. I am Megan Weber. I am the News and Education Director here at ASYEP. And today I have a few guests in the studio with me. We are going to be discussing a topic that's a little heavy. It's just so if anyone needs to take a break and come back later, you're totally welcome to do that. But today we are going to be talking about fentanyl. Yesterday was National Fentanyl Awareness Day. And we have some people in the room who have been affected by it, and I just thought it was a really important topic to discuss. So I am joined by Kath Adams and Christina and her daughter Elena. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hi, my name is Kath Adams, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to hear this important conversation about fentanyl. It's very important that we create an awareness about it and to save lives. So thank you so much for tuning in.
Hello, my name is Christina. I am a survivor of fentanyl poisoning, and I as well would like to thank you for tuning in, as this is a very important topic to me also.
I am Elena, and I am Christina's daughter, and I am also here to talk about fentanyl and how it has affected me.
Perfect, great. Thanks guys so much for being here. It's Elena and Christina's first time in the studio, so but we want to give them a big welcome. So before we get started, I just wanted to read a little bit of background for those who maybe haven't heard a lot about this topic before. This is a definition from the Drug Enforcement Administration. Fentanyl is a potent synthetic opioid drug approved by the Food and Drug Administration for use as an analgesic, which is pain relief, and an anesthetic. It is approximately 100 times more potent than morphine and 50 times more potent than heroin. According to the organization Song for Charlie, fentanyl is so dangerous because in the illegal drug market, chemicals are way more profitable raw materials than plants. That's why fentanyl is used to press fake prescription pills, sold deceptively as Xanax, Percocet, oxycodone, and more. It is also found in cocaine, ecstasy, heroin, and meth. So drug users are frequently unaware that their drug contains fentanyl, which puts them at extremely high risk of accidental poisoning. And that's why fentanyl is involved in 79% of Gen Z drug deaths, which is higher than any other age group. So that's just some background for those who might not be aware. But yeah, I wanted to give you guys some space to just tell your stories today. And Kath, I know that you have organized a campaign called Aperture of Hope in honor of my friend, your daughter, Emily. And so do you want to just tell us a little bit about that, how that came to be, and why you're on this path?
Thank you so much, Megan. I am the founder of Aperture of Hope. I'm also the wife of my husband, Greg, and my three beautiful gifts, Emily, AJ, and Ashley. 5 years ago, this past Tuesday, April 28th, our daughter Emily passed away due to what I would call accidental poisoning. She was looking for a Percocet to relieve tooth pain that she had, and she purchased it from someone, and I don't know if they knew that it was a fake pill. Obviously, Emily didn't know, and that was not her intention to take fentanyl. Her intention was to purchase a Percocet for pain relief. But the thing is that she purchased it off the street rather than having a prescription. So the morning of April 28th was also my youngest daughter Ashley's 16th birthday. And we had a phone call that morning, and when my phone rings, my kids' photos appear on my phone. And I thought, oh, great, this is Emily wishing Ashley a happy 16th birthday. But it wasn't Emily on the other end of the phone. It was her roommate giving us that most devastating news ever, that Emily had passed. About a month later, we found out through the autopsy report that Emily passed from fentanyl, and that was the only thing in her system was fentanyl and carfentanil. So since then, We have created advocacy in action through our Aperture of Hope program. We started out putting purple flags that Emily passed in April, and that following August we put out purple flags in honor and remembrance of those who have passed due to fentanyl and also substance overdose. And we continued that, and we have grown since by speaking in schools and telling our story, but also lending resources to, you know, the DEA and other organizations that have studied fentanyl and know the makeup of it. But we just come in telling our story, creating this awareness. And also, this program has grown in the fact that now I'm having high school students help me put up the flags, hold signs in front of the flags, and just being there for them. You know, I think we all need to be there for each other, and that human connection is huge. So it has grown a lot. If anyone is interested in learning more, you can go to apertureofhope.com. On the website, I have an education tab, which has resources and also has some really nice videos on how to speak to your kids about fentanyl and also what fentanyl is. So there's a lot of rich information that I really encourage people to check out.
Thanks. That's awesome. And, yeah, I just want to say for anybody listening who might not know Kath, or maybe you've seen those purple flags, I know they're actually up right now at Glenwood Springs High School, and every time I drive by I see them. And yeah, just what a great family you have, and what a great job you guys have done, because I know that AJ and Ashley have been monumental in Aperture of Hope too, haven't they?
Yes. And then so the flags we have put up currently are at Aspen High School, Roaring Fork High School, Bridges, Yampa Mountain High School, Glenwood Springs High School, and Rifle High School. So we are very grateful for all of these schools and combining efforts with us. Yeah. So that just really helps, again, spread this awareness. It's a creative awareness. It's a visual awareness. And people will ask, why? What are those flags for? Why are they up? Yeah. And then that conversation begins.
Yeah, and I think that's a great conversation to have. I mean, like, what is kind of the hope of, you know, getting people talking? Like, what can a community do? Like, when we see those flags, when we talk about it, what do you hope to see come out of these conversations and the flags and Aperture of Hope as a whole?
I think the flags serve many purposes. It's honoring those who have passed. It's honoring the families, the loved ones. It's also, like I mentioned, like striking up a conversation. What are these flags for? What's the purpose? And it's also getting our youth involved in creating a difference, in creating this awareness. And it goes on and on and on. There's so many purposes and meaning that people get from these flags, you know. So it's, we added a sign this year, which we also made into a summit flag for my son AJ, who does a lot of mountain climbing. So he will hold the Aperture of Hope flag that was actually drawn by Ashley. So it's just new ideas and new things open up. Mm-hmm. The more you're out there, the more you open up. That creates this awareness. Yeah. And just most importantly, and I feel that this is why we're all here today, is to share this life experience, to share our stories, you know. And this is the beautiful thing about radio.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think it's really cool. I mean, you're blessed to have a very creative family. Well, I kind of wanted to bring that back. So, Kath, you were just talking about how those flags have meaning for people who have lost loved ones or had experiences. And I think, Christina, maybe you could talk to that, like, speak to that a little bit. What does it mean to you to see an organization like Aperture of Hope out there in the flags? And
I am a fentanyl survivor of a poisoning, and 8/17/2021, I was in a coma from fentanyl, flight for life to Denver, and I didn't know what I had purchased had fentanyl in it. And so it just goes to speak to how unaware the community is. I am a pain sufferer, and I also was looking for a way to relieve pain from a person that I don't know whether they knew fentanyl was in this pill either. But regardless, the effect that it has had is catastrophic. I survived the fentanyl poisoning with disabilities. And so it's important now to raise awareness and have a purpose for what I went through and turn it into a positive outlet, opposed to I could have totally went the opposite way, but I had to relearn how to walk and talk and eat and communicate. And I also have children, and I had to teach them this is what you do when life happens, something bad, and this is how you get back up. This is how I met Kath, because I was looking to speak. I wanted people to know my story. I needed people, anyone that would listen, to hear that fentanyl was in fake pills, that I purchased a Percocet 30, and that's not what was in it. It was one use and done. And I had no brain activity. After 72 hours in the hospital, my brother was told to call my family and say they were taking me off life support. And so he did that. And then he dropped to his knees and he said a prayer and he started singing This Little Light of Mine. And at the time he didn't realize it, but that was my daughter who's with me today, Elena, her lullaby when she was a baby. That night around 2 a.m., he called to see the status of how I was doing, and my eyes started to move and brain activity started to come back. And so by morning he was able to come see me, and the nurse met him in the hallway and said, there's somebody to talk to you. And I 100% know it's because of that song. Was so relatable to me as the blessing my child is, that that's what brought me back. And so after I learned to walk enough, I decided to make it a mission that I didn't want anybody else to go through what I had went through, because I still deal with it every single day. That I still can't walk on certain surfaces. It's affecting my life for 4 years now. And the purple flags is also awareness that there is a flag for something. We see flags of different colors, but it raises awareness of, okay, what is this month and what is this flag for? And it was really inspiring to meet Kath, because it was so new to her and it was so new to me. but it's such a passion, and that's all you know how to do, and that's how you feel inside, is that you never want someone to go through that. And it really has raised a whole slew of purposes in my life and doors that have opened that never would have. I've spoken at Youth Zone in jails. I've spoken at the hospitals. I've handed out Narcan. I've taught my children, and they know what to do, and they carry Narcan. And it's just a big deal to get this out, that you can have a poisoning of fentanyl and survive, but you can become severely disabled because of it. And your whole life changes at that second and every aspect. And I have good days and I have really bad days. And I don't want anybody to go through what I have. And I don't want my children or my children's friends to go through what I have. And it's a very scary world out there right now, where we cannot trust anything on street drugs, no matter what it is. You have to assume there's fentanyl inside. You can't assume that it's okay, even if it's from a person you know and trust.
Well, I think that's really powerful, and thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, both of you, all three of you, really just opening up and sharing the reality and why people need to be aware. And Elena, I know that you were also affected by what your mom went through. Do you want to tell us a little bit from your perspective?
Okay, so by the time this happened, I was 8. I am in middle school now, but at that time, I was really young, and for something like that to happen to me, it changed everything. Like, it's really hard to talk about this because I haven't really before. I just put it aside because it's not really a topic that comes up. And, you know, it's affected me a lot. And I feel like I can talk about it now. So some ways that I see it now is that I have really big attachment issues now. It's very hard to attach myself to people because I feel like that will happen again. So, like, when I'm asleep, I have to have many different pillows next to me because I just need that feeling that someone is there. And then I told myself, I remember telling myself like a year after it happened, to never rely on someone like that because, like, I don't know what's gonna happen. So from that point on, I've been very independent, and I feel like this whole experience has matured me so much when I didn't need it. At the time when this happened, I didn't know what to feel, and so I decided to become very angry towards her because I didn't know what to feel. So during this whole thing, I had a lot of fights with her. And I knew I wasn't actually mad at her, but I was angry, and I had no one to talk about it. So I just got angry some days, and I never knew how to deal with it. But now that I am older, I know how to deal with it now. A lot of people have helped me understand these feelings. Like, My friends have been very helpful in making me the person I used to be. My grandma has too, because she was the one taking care of me, and she is like my second mom. And so I just feel like going through something like this, it's gonna feel like you're alone, but when you find the people that you really trust, it starts to get better. It will always be there with you, but it will get better the more you talk about it and the more you understand that it's gonna be there, but you gotta push through and you gotta change.
Well, thank you.
First, I wanna say how brave you both are for sharing this. And these are life stories. These are our lived experiences, right? And it's hard. It's really hard. The day that Emily passed was sort of like a rebirth. It was now we are moving through life without Emily being on Earth. I believe she's definitely present, but she's not on this Earth anymore. And everything shifts, right? All of a sudden, because you may become the caretaker. You have all these feelings. From what I understand and from what I've learned, we all have our lived experiences. And we can never plan out our life. And this is part of the conversation I have with kids in high school, because things can shift. And I always mention to the kids when I go in, first thing I mention to them is that I love them. And you can't take that away. I don't even know who you are, and I know that I love you, because I don't want you to go through this. And that's why we're here all together. We're a community. It's an us. It's a we. And with those lived experiences and sharing it to others is helping saving lives. And when I mentioned to him that I love him very much, I wish him the best days. But I also wish them the ugly days. And why do we need both?
We need both the good and the bad, because it helps us become who we are. If we didn't have bad days, then we wouldn't be ourselves. We would just be this weird person. But because we have good and bad days, it helps us become mature, and it helps us know what to do if something happens again. And I feel like it also helps us create such a better bond with other people, because you can relate to what they go through and you know that you're not alone. So I feel like you need both good and bad days, because that's how you become a better person.
That's how you grow, right? Right? And if you didn't have the bad days, then you're basically not being honest with yourself. So then this is where hope comes in, right? So the worst day I ever had, the bad day I ever had, when my own child passed away, I can't even explain those feelings. And what was your worst day?
I feel like my worst day was having to walk in on that, because I had that like firsthand experience of having to walk in on my mom.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So, yeah.
And that's really hard. That just, you can't explain the feelings that your body is feeling, right?
Yeah.
So how do we make those bad days into hope?
From our lived experiences, we create hope because we help other people who have either gone through this before, who haven't, or who are going through it currently, that they know that this isn't just something that happens to them, that this can be something beautiful, that they can become so much, and they themselves can also help people after their experiences. And that this doesn't have to be a bad thing to talk about. It can be something like beautiful, because I've gone through so much and I'm who I am today, and that creates a bunch of hope for other people to know that they too can get through this.
Yeah, so you're finding your purpose and meaning. You are a gift to this world. And sharing your story with others can be their healing. I find like when I share my story, it helps my healing, but most importantly, it helps save lives.
Well, thank you guys so much, all of you, for coming in and sharing your stories. And to those listening, I appreciate you tuning in. I know this was a little heavier subject than normal, but I am really glad, thankful for everyone who listened. Just anyone else in the room, Kath, Elena, Christina, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I would like to add, this is Christina, that for people to start speaking up about it, it can be an open conversation and people can come out and not be scared. And you can share your experience. Even though it is humiliating, it gets easier. And you do see the effects that you are helping people.
That's great. Well, like I said, thanks so much again for coming in. Before we totally go away, Christina, do you want to introduce the song we're going to listen to before the end of the show?
Sure. It's a song that saved my life and brought me out of a coma. It's This Little Light of Mine.